You can have devotions every day and not be praying.
Dr. Tony Evans says that's what happens when we mistake a ritual for a relationship.
Prayer is the heart of a child interacting with the heart of a dad.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. At a concert or play, a backstage pass gives you access to places the public can't go. Well, today, Dr. Evans explains how God gives us the same kind of access to heaven through prayer. Let's join him.
God has provided a power source for our growth that's internal, and that is the Holy Spirit. Even though you cannot see him, just like you don't see electricity, you don't see the wind, his effects are clear. His job is to empower the believer to develop into a spiritually mature Christian. His job is to make the parts work. However, it is possible to have a home that's well wired with all the electricity working and still not experience its benefits. In other words, you can have electricity and it still be dark. You can have electricity and the appliances not work because there is a point of contact. And the job of this point of contact is to let what is already there flow. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, you've gotten a new nature, new working parts, and there is a new resident power source, the Holy Spirit. But there must be a point of contact. Prayer is the contact point to engage you where you are to the work of the Spirit within you where it is. It takes prayer to ignite, engage, to set a fire, the work of the Spirit to grow the new person within. So important is prayer to spiritual growth that Paul says, don't leave home without it. He says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, pray without what? In other words, he says, never not do it. It is God's prescribed way to link our world with his world. Prayer is your passport to heavenly places. Now, anyone who has tried to pray or taken prayer seriously knows that it can be an awkward, difficult enterprise. You have all the best intentions in the world to talk to God. You get on your knees or whatever posture you happen to be in prayer, and it looks like as soon as you get started, something happens. Or your mind begins to wonder. You got to call your mind back. You feel guilty, feel bad. Why is prayer so hard? Because you are moving into another realm. When you go to another country, you don't learn the language. Some people take out a little book and try to read words, to try to figure out what's being said, or say, huh? It's because you're not used to it. The only way to get used to a foreign language is to hang out in the environment for an extended period of time. Paul, the author of Hebrews, was writing to believers who were no longer growing. In fact, they were regressing. They weren't moving forward in their spiritual dynamic. They were moving backward in their spiritual dynamic. And his whole point in Hebrews is press on. Don't quit. Don't stop. Don't go back. Don't throw in the towel. I know it's hard. I know it's tough. Because what you need to know about trials is that every trial is your next opportunity to grow. Since, Hebrews 4:14 says, we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Don't quit. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near. That's prayer. with confidence to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What is this concept of prayer? For many people, prayer is like the national anthem before a football game. It's nice to get started with, but absolutely has no connection with what's happening on the field. For others, prayer is like a rabbit's foot. It's my lucky charm. Let me give you a very simple definition of prayer. Prayer is relational communication. Please notice, I didn't say communicating with God. I said relationally communicating with God. In other words, prayer is not ritualistic communication with God. Talking because I'm supposed to. Prayer has got nothing to do with whether you know all the fancy words and have all the sophisticated posture. In fact, he says you do your best prayer when nobody's around. He says, go into your secret closet, but if that's not enough, he says, shut the door. Now, why I need to shut the door if I'm already in secret? He says, because it's just you and God. And he doesn't say you and God, he says you and your Father. Because prayer is a family discussion. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Prayer is relational communication with God, not ritualistic. You can have devotions every day and not be praying because you're fulfilling a ritual program and not a relational conversation. It's talking to daddy, he says. It's a father-child conversation. When people say, I don't know how to pray, what they're basically saying is, I don't know how to talk like them Christians do. I haven't learned all the right words. I haven't put all the right sentences together. I don't know Christianese yet. Prayer is the heart of a child interacting with the heart of a dad. That's why he describes it in Hebrews chapter 4 as drawing near. Drawing near has that image of intimacy and relationship, not merely external performance or fulfilling a job description or believing a prayer a day will keep the devil away. Prayer is my expressing to somebody I love and to somebody who loves me how I feel. And he says, I want you to do it without ceasing, like breathing. Many prayers in the Bible were never uttered. In other words, it would talk about what happened with a person's heart. So you're even praying when you're thinking, but there are thoughts that communicate with God. It means bringing God to bear all the time. Sometimes all you can get out is the Lord have mercy. But if it was directed as a child to a father, that was a prayer. The reason you can pray without ceasing is that you can pray anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Prayer is the access, the contact point. How is that possible? Look at the text. Jesus Christ, he says, makes prayer work. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast. Jesus made a statement. It's a powerful statement. He said, without me, finish it. You can do nothing in John 15. He says, without me, you can do what? Without me, you can do what? Without me, you can do what? Now, guess what? Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. No, he really means that. Nothing. Now, what does he mean by nothing? What he is saying is, because the context of John 15 is being productive, bearing fruit, bearing much fruit, bearing more fruit. He's talking about being productive, the growth factor. He says, you can't grow without me. Without me, you cannot grow. So therefore, you must draw near to me. And the word in John 15 is abide. That means stay close, draw near. As you draw near to me, he says, you can pray whatever you want to, and I will do it. What a powerful request. Why? Because we're so close. Because prayer is the relational communication with God. We're so close that I will share my life with you. And in this passage in Hebrews, we find out a number of wonderful things about our Lord, who is the intercessor. First of all, his person. He is Jesus, the Son of God. What a great, great full statement. See, Jesus was his human name. Son of God was his divine title. In Jesus, as you've heard me say so often, you have the most unique person in the universe because you've got a man, Jesus, the son of a woman, and you've got God because he's the son of deity. Unto us, a child is born, Jesus, but unto us, a son is given, deity. He is a unique person because he's human, so he can feel what you feel. But he's divine, so he can fix what you feel.
Well, Dr. Evans will talk about another aspect of God's uniqueness when he continues our message in just a moment. Today's lesson is part of a special compilation called The Power of Prayer. It includes messages on making our prayers more productive, deepening our passion for spiritual things, getting more passionate when we pray, and much more. There's lots more material than we've had time to present on the air, but you can get all 7 full-length sermons in this collection as our way of saying thanks for your contribution of any amount toward the ministry of The Alternative. But time is running out. This special offer ends on Thursday. So visit us today at tonyevans.org, make your donation online, and get your copy of The Power of Prayer. And when you do, don't forget to pick up a copy of Tony's brand new book, Praying Through the Names of God. It'll not only teach you about the deep meaning and significance behind the many names used to describe God in the Bible, you'll discover how they address all the situations we face in life. There are 300 specific prayers on 80 different names of God to get you started, along with room to write down your own thoughts and requests. So visit tonyevans.org today for information on getting a copy of Praying Through the Names of God. Or call 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our staff members help you. I'll give you our contact information again after Dr. Evans brings us the rest of today's message. Let's join him.
He is unique in his person. He's also unique in his position. He says, we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens. Now, the high priest's job was to represent the people before God. He went into the tabernacle, into the tent where nobody else could go. And he went before them on the Day of Atonement in order to bring the sins of the people that they might be forgiven and bring back out to the people the grace of God. He was a uniquely positioned person. It says Jesus is our great high priest, who has passed through the heavens. When you go to God, because you've hit the contact point of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ makes sure it gets to the proper location, and that is the very presence of God. Because we have a great high priest, Jesus the Son of God. So he's a unique person, because he's man and God, holding a unique position, able to get us into the very throne room of God. But look at this, he's also unique in his passion. Verse 15 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted or tested in all things as we are, yet without sin. That's a sermon by itself. You have a high priest, an intercessor, who's both man, Jesus, and God, who can sympathize. God the Father knows everything. He knows everything actual, and he knows everything potential. There are no facts of which he is not fully aware. Now watch this. But while God the Father has full knowledge of everything. Watch it now. God the Father does not have full experience of everything. He has full information of everything. He can tell you about anything that was, will be, or is. But even though he can tell you all the facts, what the Father cannot tell you is all the feelings. But God the Father wanted to be able to relate to you and me on the feeling level. So what he did was sanction the second member of the Trinity, Jesus Christ. Why don't you go put on a body like they have? Why don't you get emotions like they have so that you can feel it? Because I want to feel what they feel. And if you feel it, I can feel it, because we are one. We are one in essence. And so God the Son put on a body. And the Bible says, and he was hungry. So whenever you're hungry, God the Son says, I know what you're talking about. The Bible says he was thirsty. Whenever you're thirsty, God the Son says, I know where you're at. I'm feeling with you. You're all up in my grill. I know what you're talking about. The Bible says he was rejected. Now, if you ask the Father could tell you what he meant, but Jesus can tell you how it feels. Because he feels it with you. In a hospital operating room where no bacteria is allowed, any bacteria is a problem. See, the purity of the room makes anything not like the room a major emergency. You and I don't feel the bacteria around us. So we don't wash our hands before we do any and everything because we don't feel it. It's there and we learn to live with it. Not in an operating room where purity is perfect. They feel anything, so they wash with everything, sterilize everything. The purer you are, the more you feel it. So for Jesus to sympathize, he can sympathize like nobody else can sympathize because he can feel it like nobody else can feel it. Because of his perfection. You say, but Jesus, you've never done it. A doctor doesn't have to have had every disease to know what you're going through. He's just worked with it so long. And then he's unique in his provision. Let us draw near. That's prayer. With confidence. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Don't think you're wasting your time. Don't think, what good is this going to do? Draw near. Because it's relational. Prayer is relational, not ritual. It's relational. Draw near. Come close. Come close. Come close. Come close. With confidence. Do you understand what that means? You couldn't do this in the Old Testament. Ain't no drawing near. You walk up in that Holy of Holies, they carry you up out of there. Ain't no drawing near. Only the high priest drew near. Everybody else stayed back. But Jesus says, I passed through the heavens, permanently satisfied that the man's a God. Come on in here. It was an access point. God says, you have been duly authorized by virtue of your connection with me. And here's where you can come. To the throne of grace. What heat is to the sun, grace is to the throne. He calls it the throne that dispenses grace. He says it's the throne. That means it's where ruler sits. That means sovereignty. That means God's in charge. So it's a throne. It's just not a room of grace. It's a throne of grace. It's where the king makes the decision. Then on top of that, it's a throne that dispenses grace. It is where a sovereign gives his servants or his sons or daughters what they could never give themselves. I like the way James 4:6 says, he giveth more grace. He gives more grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now here it is, here it is. Grace is given based on the need at the moment. God gives us what we don't deserve, can't pay for, could never earn from a throne that never runs out, tied to the need based on our drawing near. In other words, the throne has grace, but you got to draw near to the throne to get the grace that the throne has. So a prayerless Christian is a graceless Christian. A Christian that is not praying as a lifestyle is not growing in their life, because they are not hanging around the throne which dispenses grace. But he only gives you enough grace to cover what the need is right then. And he's not going to give you tomorrow's grace till tomorrow. He's going to give you the grace you need for today, today, if you've drawn near.
Dr. Evans will be back in a moment to wrap up today's program with a final illustration. Now, there are only a few messages left in our current CD series, The Power of Prayer. So now's the perfect time to get a copy to review on your own or to share with your church. As I mentioned earlier, we'd like you to have it as our thank you gift when you support the work of The Alternative with a contribution of any size. So get in touch with us before this special offer runs out on Thursday and request your copy of The Power of Prayer. You can get all the information and make your donation online at tonyevans.org, where you can learn about all of our resources, including Tony's new book, Praying Through the Names of God. You can also call us at 1-800-800-3222. Our phone center is open 24/7, so there's no need to wait. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. Try walking right into the White House and marching straight to the Oval Office. You won't get very far, unless you've been invited. Well, Dr. Evans says the same principle applies when it comes to prayer. So join us tomorrow for a look at some important things we need to remember as we approach the throne of grace. Right now, though, Dr. Evans is back with this final comment.
From time to time, we have emergency health issues during the service, and we'll call the ambulance, and the paramedics will come. And what they will do is render assistance on the spot. They will work to save whatever needs saving at the moment. But I'm so glad that when the paramedics come in order to save somebody, that they don't just leave them. They put them in the truck, in the vehicle that's equipped with more grace. Watch, I'm going somewhere. They get out of the truck and they come to where the need is. They come to where the person is. They put you on the little dolly thing and they take you in, put you inside, and inside the vehicle is more grace, so that they can add more assistance along the way. But then they take you to a bigger place. It's called a hospital, where there's even more grace. In other words, they keep on giving you what you need till all the needs are met and you can go home. Our Savior one day heard you call on him. You said, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. He came down to earth. He found you slain with sin and he reached down to be your Savior. But the good news is he didn't just leave you when he delivered you. He then transported you from where you are to a place that's got all the grace you need for as long as you live. Because this throne has got plenty of grace to go around. Now, when you got a Savior like that, a Holy Ghost like that, and a Father like that, how can you stay away and not draw near?
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative, restoring hope, transforming lives.